Okay. You have to see this. I am standing on the edge of what might be the most beautiful piece of grass I have ever put my feet on, and I mean that. I have been to a lot of ramps. This is different. This is radio hangar. I'm ramp. This is ramp check, and I am somewhere in the rolling green middle of South Carolina, just south of Greenville, at a place called Triple Tree Aerodrome, and I need to tell you about it because if you have never heard of it, you're about to want to fly here. Let me set the scene. It's early. The sun is coming up over a tree line, and there's still dew burning off the grass, and there is fog sitting low in the little valleys between the runway and the lake. And in front of me is the runway itself, 7,000 feet of grass, 400 feet wide. I need you to sit with that for a second. 7,000 feet of grass that is longer than the paved runways at a lot of the airports you and I fly into every weekend. And it is turf, perfect manicured, striped turf. They mow it like a golf course. I'm not kidding. I bent down and touched it, and it is cut tighter and cleaner than my own front yard has ever been in its life. People here call it the finest grass runway in the world, and standing on it, I'm not going to argue with them. Today's segment is brought to you by aviationsoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument, all the way up. Mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. aviationsoul.com. And speaking of stories, let me tell you where this one starts. Because this runway did not come from an airport authority or a big grant. It came from one man and a dream that most people would have called crazy. His name was Pat Hartness, local businessman, lifelong pilot, and a guy who loved airplanes and loved people in roughly equal measure. And Pat had this idea. He wanted to build a place, not a business, not an airport in the paperwork sense. A place somewhere pilots could come and land on grass the way flying used to feel, and camp under their wings and shake hands and just be around airplanes and the people who love them. So he built it, he carved this runway out of the South Carolina countryside, and he planted the grass and he shaped the land and he opened the gates. And here's the part that gets me. It's free. You can fly in here. There's no landing fee, there's no ramp fee. The whole spirit of the place is that you're a guest and you're welcome and the door is open. Walk with me, let me take you down the flight line because this weekend is the big one. This is the Triple Tree fly-in, the fall gathering, and the airplanes are already rolling in. And what strikes you first, what hits you before anything else, is how quiet the culture is here, even when it's busy. This is not a screaming air show with jet noise and announcers. This is a fly-in, it's a gathering, and there's a hum to it. Props turning somewhere down the line, somebody running up, laughter drifting over from a cluster of tents, bacon, somebody has bacon going, and I can smell it from here. Look at this row. We've got a Piper Cub, bright yellow, sitting nose to the grass like it grew there. Next to it, a Cessna 170, then a big, beautiful Beechcraft Staggerwing, that gorgeous 1930s biplane with the wings staggered back to front, all polished up so the sun comes off it like a mirror. And right next to that, a home built, somebody's van's RV that they riveted together in their garage over 5 years of weekends. And nobody here thinks any one of those airplanes is better than the others. That's the thing, that's the culture. There's a family camped under the wing of that Cessna tent, pitched right off the wing strut. Camp chairs a little cooler. And the kids, two of them, maybe 8 and 10 years old, are lying on their backs in the grass watching every airplane that comes down final, just watching, pointing, every single one. And I walked over and I talked to the dad, and he told me they flew in from Tennessee yesterday afternoon, 4 hours in a 50-year-old airplane. And he said his daughter, the little one, told him on the way down that this was the best day of her whole life, and they hadn't even landed yet. That is what this place does. Let me take you over to the approach because you pilots are going to want to know what it's like to actually fly in here. You come in over trees, there's a tree line off both ends, so you've got that classic grass strip picture threshold set in a little bit, and you're looking at this enormous carpet of green. And the trick, everybody tells me the same trick, is that it is so wide and so long and so perfect that your eyes lie to you. It looks like you're higher than you are because the sight picture is nothing like the skinny gray strip you're used to. Guys come in and flare high because their brain is screaming that the ground is farther away than it is. So the wisdom on the ramp here is fly the numbers, trust your airspeed, and don't let that big, beautiful green fool you into ballooning. And when you get it right, when you grease it onto turf that's soft, they tell me there is nothing like it. No thump, no chirp of rubber, just this soft settle and the sound of the grass under your wheels, and then you're rolling out on a lawn. I watched a Cub do it this morning, 3-point tailwheel and mains all kissing down together, and I swear that airplane touched down so soft you could have balanced a coffee cup on the panel. The whole crowd along the line just went, oh, together like a wave, total strangers all appreciating one clean landing. You have to see this to understand it. Now, let me tell you about the human beings, because that's the real story here. It always is. I met a man this morning, older gentleman, ball cap, hands like he's worked on engines his whole life, and he's standing next to a Fairchild, old military trainer, the kind they used to teach cadets in during the war, and he's got a rag and he's wiping down the cowling, slow, the way you touch something you love. And I asked him about it, and he told me he restored it over 11 years. 11 years in a barn, piece by piece, and he said the reason he brought it here out of all the fly-ins he could go to is that here people actually look. They walk up, they ask, they lean in and look at the stitching on the fabric and the safety wire on the bolts, and they get it. They understand what 11 years in a barn means. He said, at Triple Tree, you're not showing off, you're sharing. That word stuck with me, sharing. Then there's the volunteers, and I have to talk about them because this whole thing runs on them. Hundreds of them. People who take a week of their own vacation to come out here and marshal airplanes and run the golf carts and cook the food and empty the trash for free because they believe in what this place is. There's a whole culture of it. The marshallers out on the grass with their orange wands, walking airplanes into the parking rows, tucking them in wingtip to wingtip in these perfect lines. And they take pride in those lines, straight as a runway center line, airplane after airplane after airplane. I watched one of them, young guy, college age, bringing in a twin, and he's giving the signals, come ahead, come ahead. And then that firm crossed wand stop, and he ran up to the pilot afterward with this huge grin. And you could tell, for that kid, marshaling that airplane into that spot on that grass was the highlight of his whole year. There's a spirit here that I think a lot of aviation has drifted away from. Honestly, somewhere along the way, flying got expensive, and it got complicated, and it got a little cold, locked gates, badge readers, ramp fees, and Triple Tree is out here quietly doing the opposite, doors open, grass free, come as you are, sleep under your wing, we're glad you came. And the camping, oh, the camping, this is the heart of ramp culture right here. When the sun goes down at a place like this, you don't leave, you don't drive to a hotel, you stay, you pitch a tent off your wing strut, or you throw a sleeping bag in the back of the airplane, and you stay right there on the flight line with your airplane and a couple hundred other people who love this the same way you do. And after dark, the campfires come out, little clusters of them all down the line, and you just wander from fire to fire with a folding chair, and you sit down with total strangers, and within about 90 seconds, you're not strangers anymore because you both flew here. And that's all it takes, and the stories start, the hangar flying, the one about the time the weather closed in, the one about the first solo, the one about the airplane they wish they'd never sold. That's the thing nobody tells you about ramp culture. The airplanes get you there, but it's the fire and the stories and the person in the next chair that make you come back. Somebody had a guitar last night down at the far end, and I don't know who it was, and it doesn't matter, but the sound of it just carried across the grass under the stars with the shapes of all these airplanes sitting quiet in the dark. And I thought, this is why we do all of it, all the training and the check rides and the money and the weather, for nights exactly like this one. Let me tell you one more thing about Pat's vision, because it didn't stop at the fly-in. Triple Tree isn't only a party once a year. They built this into something that gives back. They host youth programs out here. Kids come and they get around airplanes and they see that this world is open to them. And they do events for wounded veterans, and there's a whole side to it dedicated to model aircraft, too. Radio control flying, because Pat wanted every corner of aviation to have a home here, from the little foam models all the way up to the stagger wings. Pat Hartness passed away, but the foundation he set up keeps the gates open and keeps the grass green and keeps his whole idea alive. This place is his handshake still going years later. And you feel it. You genuinely feel it walking around. It doesn't feel like an event that was organized. It feels like an invitation somebody left open for you. I'm watching another airplane turn final right now. Little tail dragger wings rocking a touch in the morning air. And down along the line, those same two kids from Tennessee are back up on their feet, pointing, counting them as they come. Okay, I have to let you go, but let me leave you with this. My thanks to the Triple Tree Aerodrome Foundation and the volunteers who told me their stories out here on the grass this weekend, and to Pat Hartness, wherever he is, for building a place that shouldn't exist and does. You can find more from us over at radiohanger.com. If you've got an airplane and a tent and a free weekend, do yourself a favor, point the nose toward South Carolina, land on the grass. Stay for the fire, I'll save you a chair. This is Ramp, and I have got to go watch this next landing.